I'm Anthony Adragna, and this is Politico Energy. So we're obviously in the home stretch here of a very hotly contested presidential race, but down on K Street, or I mean, I guess in home offices throughout the D.C. area, kind of the lobbying shops are already preparing for what a potential Biden presidency would look like. Zach and Catherine, you guys spoke to a bunch of people involved in that world. What did you find out? What conversations are happening?
Well, I think we found out that, you know, everybody's kind of going through the motions and game planning a bunch of different scenarios. You're looking at either a Biden presidency with a divided Congress. You're looking at Biden with a democratically controlled Congress. And you're also looking at the status quo, Trump with a divided Congress, or even Trump with an all-Democratic Congress. It seems like a lot of people, though, are planning for a Biden victory, or at least seriously considering that possibility.
Yeah, that's what I was told too by a bunch of lobbyists in, you know, the renewable energy sector, agriculture, consumer brands. A lot of them were spending a lot of their energy focusing on a Biden, potential Biden administration, because that would require them to basically keep tabs on all the different people who might be in his cabinet and the thousands of other appointments he would make. They've been doing that for the better part of this year. So it's a long process since there are so many different possibilities.
Today, sustainability reporter Catherine Boudreau and Energy's Zach Coleman on how lobbyists are preparing for the election. It's Thursday, October 29th.
Today I'm releasing my plan to mobilize millions of jobs by building sustainable infrastructure and an equitable clean energy future.
Well, Congress is going to act upon the science in a legislative way with everyone at the table.
Biden and Democrats have made no secret of their intentions to move ambitious climate legislation one way or another next year. How are the various business groups and then the energy sector separately, how are they sort of preparing for that possibility?
You know, if there's a Biden win and a divided Congress, they're really focusing on how do we, you know, engage the Biden administration on executive actions. You know, if it's a Democratic Congress, they feel like they're going to be playing defense. A lot of the energy companies, you know, they looked at Biden calling for a fracking ban on public lands. It's not the same as a nationwide fracking ban, but that's something that if you're the American Petroleum Institute, you're going to have to play defense on.
Yeah, and I was also talking to some of the major food companies. Well, at least they're the lobbyists who represent them. They're taking on like recycling and plastic waste, because a lot of these big food companies have made pledges to cut down on plastic waste. So that is an opportunity if the Democrats win both chambers of Congress and Biden wins. But there's still a lot of debate over how you actually invest in the country's recycling infrastructure, whether it's the companies that produce the waste or consumers, taxpayers, etc.
One of the other things you guys raise in your newsletter is this concept of greenwashing. For those people that are not familiar with that term, can you describe what that is and why that might be particularly relevant if Democrats get control of Congress and the presidency next year?
So basically, this is the concern that corporations, for example, say they're going to do one thing, but aren't actually following through on a promise. This happens a lot. So, I mean, corporate America says that it's extremely sincere about reaching its climate goals, like reaching net zero commitments. But if you take a look at even a Bloomberg analysis recently, it showed that a lot of their political donations are going to members of Congress, incumbents who are actually climate obstructionists. So it's a little bit of saying you're doing one thing, doing a totally different thing behind the scenes. And I think lobbying organizations is a big area where this happens.
It is a question of how do you use your lobbying muscle? Are these pledges something that companies are throwing out there to say, you know, we've got this, we're going to do this on our own, we don't need policy to be the stick, we are the carrot? Or is this something where they say, okay, this is our policy and we want to help Congress get other people on our level?
Well, and to that point, I think probably, as Zach, you've reported before, one of the areas or one of the groups that'll be most interesting to watch is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. As you noted in the long game this week, again, the energy sector doesn't have quite the same weight that it once did. It's right now the worst performing portion of the S&P 500. How do you think the chamber is thinking about the prospect of climate action in a hypothetical Democratic administration? And is that different than they've thought about it before?
I think that the chamber will always be against top-down mandates that make energy more expensive in their terms. So anything that would be an outright ban on certain sorts of energy, they're not going to be for that. What they would do is advocate for research spending, or they would endorse removing permitting restrictions that could benefit everything from pipelines to wind turbines to transmission lines to move more clean energy across the country. It's going to be that kind of small government approach, but you know, we'll have to see exactly where they put their policy and lobbying muscle.
Also, the Trump administration is opening up one of America's most unique forests to logging and development. Yesterday, the administration announced it's opening the Tongass National Forest for business by removing protections that had been in place for about 20 years. The Tongass Forest in Alaska is one of the world's largest temperate rainforests, and according to the Washington Post, starting today, logging companies can begin building roads and removing timber throughout almost 10 million acres of forest. According to scientists, the forest captures the equivalent of about a tenth of the continental U.S. carbon every year, while at the same time housing wild Pacific salmon and other species. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Thanks, and we'll be back again tomorrow.